This time, I would like to introduce our first speaker. Her name is Patricia Jay, and she's from the Montgomery area.
Hi, everybody. I'm an addict, and my name is Patricia. And topic of the meeting is gratitude. And I'd like to thank CPRNA for taking a risk for a crackhead like me to share my experience with the hope and gratitude. And so I'm not going to apologize for my nervousness, but I want y'all to know I am a little bit nervous, and that's good for me because I really don't like to share me. But the program has taught me that I have to come out of the closet and expose my disease. And I was thinking, the speaker spoke today, and he was very powerful to me, but he coined my phrase I was going to open with. My gratitude speaks when I care and when I share with others the NA way. And what that means for me is, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, it wasn't about not using. It was about getting a baby back who was 15 months old, who I had abandoned at a daycare in D.C. That's what it was about for me in the beginning. And how I show my gratitude today is, she's 8 years old today, and my clean date is February 23rd, 1998. And so what I don't do is, I don't pick up and I don't get high. So I don't pick up with $20 in Northeast D.C. going to Silver Spring and think I'm going to get back in time. I don't do that. And that's how I show my gratitude. They told me that gratitude is an action word. So I got to do something. I can't just walk around and talk about I'm a grateful addict. I have to do something to show that. And how I've done it over the years is I've always been in service. Currently, I'm not. And so I feel this is an opportunity for me to show my gratitude to Narcotics Anonymous, to show up when I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it because I got some shit going on with me that I really don't want to deal with. However, the true me is coming out, and I've been dealing with that today. But my gratitude is that I showed up. I'm willing to share with you all a little bit of me, and that's my gratitude for the program. It also says that, you know, the program of Narcotics Anonymous is the 12 steps. And another way that I show my gratitude is that, you know, I'm a person who the phone really does weigh 1,000 pounds for me because I have a lot of things going on. You know, I got the three kids, I got my life back. Narcotics Anonymous has done that for me. And so I don't call people. I'm from New York, by the way. So don't get stuck on anything that's the outer shell of me, okay, how I talk or any of that. Because when I get real nervous, the New Yorker really going to come out, you know what I'm saying? And I might curse, you know. I'm that girl. You know, I try to be proper, but I'm still that girl. I'm still that crackhead. So I did some things that caused me to, you know, not really be who the voice may project me to be. I get confused a lot of times when I'm on the phone. So I share that to say that the message is hope, that any addict seeking recovery need never die. And my gratitude really does speak when I care. And how it's doing it now, letting y'all know that you can be articulate. You can show your gratitude. I can show my gratitude by not saying as many explicatives as I really want to. Because truth be known, I really want to be like the down chick, you know, LL Cool J around the way chick, you know, just down and dirty, down with it, you know what I'm saying? But really, that's not who I am today. I'm trying to do the next right thing. I've pulled capers. Yes, I have. I'm proud of that. But it's caused me some consequences. So what I'm trying to do today is not pull those capers. Prime example, and I waited until I got in recovery for the true addict to really rear its head in terms of my behavior, because when I was out there, jail was not a part of my story before I got in recovery. Since I've been in recovery, I've been in lockup twice, okay? So what I'm trying to do now to show my gratitude, because I don't want to go back, and it's petty stuff, you know, don't steal tags. Uh-huh. When you have a court date, show up. Okay. Because the check's in the mail for me. It came. Knocking on the door. And so how I do that today is I'm trying not to, trying to show up for court, okay? Trying to get make sure I have my car in order, everything, pay the insurance on time, keep the license straight. You know, I have a problem with keeping my license straight. I don't know why. I'm such a good person, but shit happens. And I don't want to pay. And then I feel I've been victimized with a situation that happened a couple years ago. But because I wasn't right, that was God's way, my higher power way of bringing attention to me to let me know I need to get my house in order. And so how I do my gratitude today, so now I had to go down to DMV, make payment arrangements, and sometimes I don't keep them. Sometimes I don't call. But the payment, the check is always in the mail. I always have to pay, so my license is suspended. So now I got to come up with a whole lot of money. My gratitude is that when am I going to learn that lesson? I haven't learned it yet because I'm still working on manageability in my financial area. Thank you. Like I said, I have three children. When I came into the program, I had abandoned those, all three of them at the time. Currently, they're back in my life. They've been back in my life for the last, well, 6.5 years. I used to, when I was actively using, I could get the good job, but I'm the addict that gets paid on a Friday and may not get back to the job until Wednesday, but I've left at lunch, and I've told the employer that my son got hit by a Mack truck, and he's in critical condition, and I got to be there. I'm that addict. So, of course, after one too many times, that wears thin, and you're just a temp. I used to say, yes, I'm a temp with a capital T. So today, I show my gratitude to the employer because I have to keep a good job. I have to support these three children. You know what I'm saying? When I came out of treatment, I was making X amount of dollars, and I came out of treatment really living beyond my means, but I had a savings, which quickly ran out. So I had to keep the good job. So today what I do is I go to work. I work a job. I go every day. When I'm sick, I call in. If I have business, I call in. I'm more honest now. And I feel really guilty when I have to take off. That is a new way of thinking for me, totally. And so over the past 6 years, I've had a job. I resigned from a very good job, and I got a new job. So I don't, when I get paid, I felt bad getting my check early yesterday because it was my first paycheck. But I didn't leave early. I took a 1 hour lunch and came back. And I thanked God that I could do that. Because it was back in the day when I get that check, I have one mission, find the ways and means to get it. I probably have already found the means, had it in the plans, had it in the makings. When I left treatment and went to a long-term treatment, I had to bury, had an official ceremony to bury my phone book. So today how I show my gratitude in those areas of my life, I don't go around the people, places, and things. I don't play on the same playground or the playgrounds that I like. For example, I like to dance, so I go to nightclubs. I recognize my primary purpose. My primary purpose is not to drink or drug, not to use any mood or mind-altering substitute, but to have a good time and to dance. So today I know my primary purpose, and that's how I show my gratitude, because I'm getting my dance on. That's just how it is. and it's all about balance, too. I show my gratitude. In the beginning, I used to drag my kids out to meetings. You know, my home group, I guess it's appropriate, is in Rockville, Serenity in the Park. It's on Thursday night, starts at 7:30, ends at 9 o'clock. On a school night, that's not too conducive to children, because they're not getting their proper rest. Okay, I got the meeting before the meeting. There's a meeting that I want them to be perfectly quiet in and still, don't say nothing, don't bother me, I'm listening. And then there's a meeting after the meeting, and then we're getting home. There may not have been homework. There may have been not been food. How I show my gratitude in that area today, I try to go to an early meeting. When I can't get to a meeting, I make a contact. I'm talking about within a week. I go to meetings on a regular basis. That's regular for me. Some days, some weeks is 2, 3, 4. Some weeks is 1. It all depends on the children's schedule because I realize they're recovering too, and they need a sense of security. Because for a long time, I thought my older daughter, I have 3, she's 17. She came back in my life. She was 11. And I would leave her sometimes, and I didn't realize she was still going through what she was going through about me going to get a loaf of bread and then come back to too late 2 years later. That's a problem. So today I reassure her I have a cell phone. They can reach out and touch me at any time. My cell phone is on 24/7. People, my friends, I have gained true friends who care about me, who call me on my fucked up attitude. I've had that done today. I'm grateful because what that has allowed me to do is show my gratitude, not just by apologizing to them, because I've been real ugly today. People who I've been ugly to may not have realized that, which means I was really only killing myself, but I recognize that. So what I'm trying to do now is turn that around and be very pleasant with myself, even though I don't like some of the things that I see or I'm going through or I'm feeling. But I recognize internally that I'm being ugly, and I don't want to be that way today. That's my gratitude and wanting to change. Because I'm very nice, but I can be very, you know, just, we all can, but I'm talking about me. So I can be very snotty, standoffish, and rude. Qualities that I don't like. So I'm working on changing those things. And that's how I'm showing my gratitude. You know, Narcotics Anonymous is really good to me because it's how the steps are working in my life. I have to talk about that because that's the program for me. I can talk about the fellowship, but I recognize on a daily basis that I have to surrender to my disease. I have to tell myself I don't want to get high. I have to play my tape. I never understood that whole thing before because I'm an addict, and I used to not want to tell that I wanted to use or I had thoughts of using or I had using dreams. But I have to expose that because I'm an addict. That comes natural. That's what I'm supposed to do. Being an addict, I'm going to want to use. But what I do today differently is I tell someone. And if I can't get in contact with someone, I pray. You know, it's nothing elaborate. It's just a sincere prayer. And so far, you know, I haven't found it necessary. And the opportunity, haven't met the circumstance and all that. But really, it's a conscious decision, quite frankly, I feel, for me on a daily basis. And the message is hope. And I'm still nervous. Because as I share more about me with you, I still am uncomfortable letting you know who I am, that I'm really just a scared little girl trying to grow up, live life on life's terms, and do the next right thing on this side. Trying to incorporate spiritual principles such as hope, faith, trust, respect, humility. What is that? Gratitude, being grateful, appreciating. How do I appreciate my friends today? You know, I just call people sometimes. I told you I have problems with calling. But the people, I made a New Year's resolution that I was going to be more friendly because I want more friends. So I have to focus on me, so I have to show myself more friendly. And so I do that to the people who are close to me. I call my sponsor. I call my close friends, my intimate friends. Because what I've gained here is people who have really gotten to know me. And the people who are in my life now are the people that I would not have picked. I just wouldn't have picked them. They just come. And who stick and stay, because like I said, this outer shell is nothing. But my heart is very pure. I have a very good heart. But sometimes when I'm upset about something's not going on in my life, it can manifest in me being rude and just ugly. And my true friends, they just love me anyway, love me until I can come around. And so I show my gratitude, like I'm having breakfast. I'm not inviting y'all, I'm just saying. No, having breakfast tomorrow in my room. That's another way to show my gratitude, to give it back. And gratitude is very important because it really keeps me humble. Because sometimes I'm not grateful for the good job, the kids back in my life, you know, being able to pay the bills somewhat on time when I decide that I'm going to pay them. Sometimes because I kept telling people, oh, yeah, I'm doing gratitude. And by then, maybe I'll have some. You know what I'm saying? And then I polled people. Well, what do you think about gratitude? And what do you think about gratitude? To get some ideas, and I consulted Don Webster, and I consulted Funk and Wagtails about gratitude. You know what I'm saying? So I can make sure that was clear on what it was to be have gratitude, to be grateful, and that's to be appreciative. But that's an action word. I have to do action. I just can't talk it. I got to walk it. And so I showed up here tonight to share my experience, strength, and hope with gratitude. The message is hope if you didn't get nothing else. The message is truly hope that a crackhead in the closet, figuratively and literally, addict like me, can stop using and find a new way of life and walk in the light and want to change and lose the desire and be a responsible member of society. That's how I show my gratitude. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. Now I would like to introduce to you our second speaker. Her name is Avis T, and she's from the D.C. area. Oh, Aaron.
Hi, family. I'm Avis, and I'm an addict. Hey, Avis. Oh, and I want to first thank my higher power for having me here, and I am truly, truly nervous. My sponsors are Francis J. and Gerard A. My clean date is June 8th, 1987. And when I was asked to do this workshop, I talked to my male sponsor, and he told me that I have so much to be grateful for. And he told me to share with you all my story. You know, I'm that intelligent addict. I graduated from Howard University in 1986 at the top of my class. In 1987, I was sitting in D.C. jail trying to figure out how the hell I got there. You know, and I was trying to sell a drug that I was addicted to. You know. And I'm that addict. I have my mother cares so much about me, but my mother had diabetes. And I'm that addict who would steal her money, go outside and get high, and then come back in the house and help her look for it. That's the type of addict that I am. I truly, truly have so much to be grateful for. I stand here a living miracle. I'm a survivor of cancer. About 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And over the years, it developed cancer. And about 2 years ago, I was on what I call a roll. I had the good government job, the nice house, the dog, the Mercedes. I had everything going on, so I thought. And I can remember going home every day and by myself and laying on the sofa and lighting the fireplace. It'd be 99 degrees outside. I'm lighting the fireplace, just chilling, you know. I finally did it, you know. Then a few months later, I was on medical leave. I had lost all my sense of taste. One of the nerves close to my brain had swollen, and I had no sense of taste, so they did this laser treatment. And I was out on medical leave. I was due to go back to work January 6, 2003. But they called me and told me to dial in on a conference call. And on that conference call, there were four of my coworkers, and we were all terminated on the phone. The company downsized. So I was, well, what am I going to do? I got this house, and I got this car, and I got all these things. You know, what am I going to do? They gave us this little petty-ass severance package, and I was able to pay the mortgage for a while. Kids moved back in, but they weren't working, so they weren't helping, you know, so stress took over. Then I got a call from my doctor, and she said, you need to come in the office. And when I came in, she told me I had brain cancer. So I had to give up the house, had to give up the car, and give up all those things that I got. I ended up from being all the way up here to being all the way down here in less than 3 months. I ended up living in a room in the basement of my sister's house with no window, just a room. And I sat in that room and I tried to figure out, God, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. I'm going to meetings. I'm helping people. I'm being the best person I can be. Why are you doing this? And I was sitting in my sister's dining room, and I was shaking like a leaf, and I was nervous, and I couldn't think, and I couldn't get my thoughts together. And out of all the people that I know, I could not think of one person's phone number but my sponsee, Eric. And I called him, and from the background, I could tell he was having dinner. And he kept saying, what's wrong? And I couldn't tell him. I was having a nervous breakdown. So I ended up calling my son, who smokes weed 90 miles an hour. But he was able to calm me down. And he said, Mommy, don't worry, it's going to be okay. So I started my radiation treatments. And I was ashamed, you know, because I had gotten really, really small. And I, at the time, my hair was really, really short. It's really, really short now, but y'all don't know that. my hair was really, really short. And I just felt, I started isolating. And I didn't want anyone to see me because I can be very vain. But what I got out of all of that was, Avis, you was going to work every day. You were doing everything you were supposed to do, but you forgot that God blessed you with all this stuff. You know, God provided you with everything you needed, and you took all the credit for it. So I had no choice but to get down on my knees and ask God to help me. You know, I didn't want to use, but I just did not like how I felt. So I'm telling you, I have so much to be grateful for. I have so much to be grateful for. After I finished the radiation treatment and I stopped beating myself up and I started to let people in, I started coming back to meetings, and you all hugged me and you embraced me and y'all told me that it was going to be okay. And the gratitude that I have for you all is that today I show up with almost 16 years clean. I go to a meeting every day. Every day. When y'all ask me to do anything, I'm right there. And that's my gratitude. I have a sister in Narcotics Anonymous. She's not my blood sister, but she's the reason I went to jail, now that I think about it. excuse me. We were both on it, but she decided she was going to go to treatment. So they let her come home to take care of her business. So she went and cashed a little check, and she said, come on, let's go. So we spent the whole night getting high. Then she didn't have a way to get back to treatment. So me being, I'm that girl, that street girl, that's me. So I get out there and I start selling weed to get my sister back to treatment because we smoked up all the money. And here I go with my bad self. I sold a bag of weed to the undercover cops. And I got locked up and I had a bench warrant. And about 2 years later, they caught up with me. And I was parking a truck. And it was a stick and it kept stalling out. And what I'm telling you is how God has worked in my life. The police pulled up behind me and they said, because they had stopped me on several occasions, but I told you I'm very intelligent. I was able to talk my way away. So this particular morning, the police pulled up behind me and they said, oh, we know you have identification today because you're driving. So I gave them somebody's name and somebody's social security number, and I sat there and I listened to all the felony warrants this person had. And they locked me up. They locked me up. And they set me over there in that jail over 7th District in D.C., Alabama Avenue, Southeast. So it was the worst. And they called me everything but my name. Crackhead this, that, and the other, da-da-da-da-da, because I wouldn't tell them who I was. So I finally said, okay, maybe if I tell them, they'll let me go. But what they did was they gave me some time in jail. And I stayed in jail for a while. And you all were bringing meetings into the jail. And the gratitude that I have for Narcotics Anonymous is that you all told me that I did not have to live like I was living, that any addict can lose a desire to use. So when I was released, I wasn't on paper. I didn't have to go to meetings, but I did because I really had nowhere else to go. My mom told me that she would let me come back home, but the first time something was missing out of her house, I had to go. So in an effort to not steal from my mother, I started to go to this place called the Pathfinders Club, and I sat there all day, every day. Then the fog started to lift, and then I was able to start telling you guys about me and how I was really a little girl who didn't have any friends, because all the friends I had all my life was because of who I was. See, I was a professional model for 20 years, and I always had people in my life because of that. When I was in high school, I was on a cross-country track team, and I was in the newspaper every weekend, so I always had people in my life because of that. But when I started smoking weed and my ass got slow, then people disappeared, you know, and I was left with self, you know. And the gratitude that I have today for my sister, you know, is that when she got here before I did, but when I came, she let me have my space because I was practicing. I wasn't showing gratitude for anything for a long time because I was practicing some behaviors that she just was not going to be a part of. And I mean, I fellowship with you guys more than I probably should have, you know. And once you get a name in Narcotics Anonymous, it's hard to get rid of it, you know. So I had to do some soul searching and some step work. And I'm not one of those people that say, well, I slept with this guy because I was trying to fill a void. That's not me. I slept with him because that's what I wanted to do, you know. That's what my self-worth was at that time. But the gratitude that I have for the program, the 12 steps in writing and getting to know who I am and why I do some of the things that I do and why I treat people the way that I treat people the way I want to be treated. I am the silliest person you would ever want to meet. But a lot of people look at me and judge me. They judge the book by the cover. So what that does to me, it makes me isolate. But in me trying to show how grateful I am that you all stopped me from smoking crack, I pushed myself anyway. Just before I came down here, I had to call my sponsor because I'm that addict who sold drugs clean. And I have to say that. And my sponsor, she said to me, what kind of gratitude is that? You know, what kind of gratitude is that? So I had to expose myself, you know, and I thank God that I did not have to sell a nail bag of dope to get here today, you know, and I don't have a desire to sell drugs, but I'm that person when I crack under pressure, you know. I've been clean a long time, but life just keeps showing up, you know, it just keeps showing up. But the gratitude that I have is that I have people to talk to. You know, I have people to air out, you know, to let them know what I'm doing. Because I'm that person that I need somebody to say, Avis, don't do that. You know, and it's just that simple. If you tell me not to do it, I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm grateful for the network. I finally have a network with women. You know, I have every anniversary that I have, it'd be like standing room only, but 90% of my men. You know, this year I'm so grateful that I have so many women in my life. You know, I've tried to reach out and show you ladies how grateful that I am that you all taught me how to be a lady all over again, because when I got here, I was the one wearing the short skirts and whatever, you know, whatever I thought would get somebody's attention, that's what I did. But you all surrounded me and loved me in spite of, you know, and I really can't express enough gratitude for the programs of Narcotics Anonymous. Things happen, you know, life shows up, and just because I might make a mistake does not mean I'm not working the program. Before I smoked crack and Love Boat, I was a human being, you know, and what God is revealing, that's a water. What God is revealing to me is that I'm not a bad person trying to be good. I'm a sick person trying to get better, you know, and I fall short in a lot of areas. A little while ago, I was going through an incident. See, I'm one of those people, when life shows up, I can pretty much deal with it, unless it's dealing with matters of the heart. You know what I'm saying? That emotional stuff. You know, and when I'm going through that emotional stuff, gratitude is like the last thing I think about. You know, why should I be grateful for hurting? You know, but I was taught a long time ago that what didn't kill me would only make me stronger. And I'm truly grateful. You know, I'm truly grateful, and I'm not one of those profound yelling because I'm at a convention speakers, you know. I'm not. I can only share my experience, strength, and hope. And like Patricia said, gratitude is an action word. If you're so grateful, do something. Pick up the cup when the meeting is over. You know, when I first came around, you could smoke in the NA meeting. You know, they said, you're so grateful, pick up the ashtray. If somebody spilled the coffee, get a mop and get it up. If you're so grateful, put a newcomer in your old car. You know, that's what they told me when I got here. And I do that. There's this guy that's hanging out with us this weekend. I don't even think he has 24 hours, but it's okay. He's here. You know, and any addict can lose a desire to use. Any addict. I thought I would spend the rest of my life smoking crack. I'm that person. I mean, if you don't live in D.C., you're really not going to identify with this, but I must say this. I'm that person that smoked Love Boat. We have this big chair in Southeast D.C., right? I'm that person that smoked some Love Boat, climbed up in a big chair, and couldn't get down. And could not get down. So when the fire department came, they were laughing so hard. Like, how the hell you get up there? I was like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Is that Love Boat make you do some shit, man? You know, and when they got me out of that chair, though, they took me straight to the nut ward, you know, right where I needed to be, you know. But I am so grateful for all of my experiences. I'm grateful for it. Because I know that that was what I had to do to stop using. I had to be crazy. I had to steal from my mother. I had to trick. You know, I had to do all those things so you all could teach me how to live all over again. I'm grateful for my sponsor. I finally have a female sponsor. I've tried them over the years. But I think I came in an era where who I was sleeping with was more important than whether I smoked crack. So I had to filter through. But I finally found a female sponsor who calls me. You know, it's a two-way street, and I love her. You know, and is it time to finish it? And I was sitting here and I saw a lot of people. When we first got in here, I told Patricia, I hope everybody's gone to the dance, you know. And as the room started to fill up, I started to get more nervous, you know. But I always get nervous when I have to talk about me, you know. I can't say enough about gratitude, you know. I can't say enough about it because it's not what I say about gratitude, it's what I do. You know, I am so grateful that Jeff asked me to come out and share on gratitude. And the topic of our convention is dreams do come true. I've always wanted to speak at a convention, but I was like, well, maybe I don't yell enough when I speak, so they're not going to ask me, you know, or maybe my story isn't as juicy as the next person, so they're not going to ask me. But you know what? You never know who's watching you. You know, you never know. And my sponsor is giving me directions. And I love her for that. I'm gonna share this, and then I'm gonna sit down. When I was going, and I don't mean to bounce around, but when I was going through my cancer, right after I finished my treatment and I started to come back out and started to look better and everything, and I finally realized why God wanted all my attention. I lost vision in my left eye. Things just kept happening, you know. And I went to GW Hospital, and they told me I had pink eye. So I started treating my eye for conjunctivitis. And it kept getting worse, so they told me to go to Wilmer Eye Institute in Baltimore. And they saw my eye, and they didn't know what was wrong with it. All I know is that I couldn't see. Now, mind you, I have not had a job in 2 years. So I went to Wilmer Eye Institute, and they admitted me, and they used me as research. I have an eye disease that's called acanthanoba. And it comes from, it's directly related to wearing colored contact lenses. I had a scratched cornea and didn't know it. And the coloring that they use in the colored contact lenses caused this infection. So after being tested over and over and over and over and they're not being able to find out what was wrong, they did a biopsy and then they found out. But still, I couldn't see. So they told me they wanted to give me a corneal transplant. And I said, well, I don't have any insurance. So I left. They called me back. They asked me, could they give me a corneal transplant and they would pay for it? You know, and I can see today, you know. I am so grateful that I have the stick-to-itiveness, even when I don't want to. When I don't want to do something, I do it. I said I'm going to do this. I do it anyway. I do it anyway, and I'm a miracle. You know, I go through a lot. At first, it was self-inflicted. Now, it's even more self-inflicted. You know, I'm talking about personal stuff that I deal with on a daily basis, the pain that I go through. The cancer is in remission, but I still hurt. You know, pain pills stopped helping 2 years ago, so I don't take them anymore. You know, I try to keep stress out of my life. You know, people pull at me all the time, you know. I'm one of those people that's popular in an anonymous program. You know, people pull at me all the time for something, you know. And it's usually guys, you know, and it stresses me out because I'm such a nice person, you know, and I'm always smiling them off, yeah, okay, get a year, you know, that type of thing, you know. But the bottom line is stress is the one thing that will bring my cancer out of remission. So I try to stay away from it. I don't like arguing. I don't like confrontation. I'm that person that will say, okay, you're right, just so I don't have to fuss. You know, I'm so grateful that you all taught me how to treat myself. You know, I am a lady today. I'm no one's doormat. You know, my gratitude is that I can hug you guys and let you go. I couldn't do that 16 years ago. You know, my gratitude is that when I come in a meeting, you all greet me with love and compassion. And when I'm going through, you nurture me until I'm better. I want to thank the committee for asking me to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope on gratitude. And I just want to say that any addict can lose a desire to use. Thank you.